Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on shaping an air horn hit for timeless roller momentum in jungle and old school DNB. Now, this is one of those classic DJ tools that can either sound absolutely massive or totally fake. And the difference is not just volume, it's placement, tone, movement, and restraint. We're not making a novelty horn blast. We're building a horn that feels like part of the rhythm section. Rude, punchy, mix-aware, and ready to live inside a roller. The mindset here is important. Think of the horn as a percussion phrase accent, not a lead synth. If it behaves like a drum element, it will sit more naturally in the groove. In jungle and DNB, that's the magic. It should hit like a signal, a cue, a warning, a hype moment, but still leave room for the break and the bass to keep driving. So first, before you even design the sound, decide what role it plays. Is it marking the end of an 8-bar phrase? Is it answering a snare fill? Is it a transition hit before a bass switch? Or is it a call and response stab against the Reese line? That choice affects everything. For this lesson, we're aiming for a horn hit that lands at the end of an 8-bar loop, ideally on bar 8 beat 4, or even slightly ahead on the end of 4. That tiny push forward is a huge part of the energy. It gives the sense that the track is rolling onward, not just sitting on the grid. In jungle and old school DNB, that little bit of tension is gold. Let's build the source in Ableton Live 12 using stock devices. Start with Wavitable, because it gives us a really good balance of aggression and control. Operator can also work, especially if you want a harder, more synthetic edge, but Wavitable is a very flexible starting point. Use a saw or a square saw blend on oscillator 1. Keep oscillator 2 as a sine or triangle very low in the mix for body. If you want a fuller bark, add a little unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices, but don't overdo the detune. Too much spread and it starts losing that tight DJ tool punch. For the filter, try low pass 24 if you want a more controlled horn, or band pass if you want a more nasal, classic rave character. Start with the cutoff somewhere in the midrange, around 700 Hz to 2.5 kHz, depending on how bright you want it. Resonance should be moderate, just enough to give it identity, not enough to scream. Now shape the amp envelope. Keep the attack extremely fast, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay should be short, around 150 to 350 milliseconds. Sustain at 0. Release short as well, maybe 50 to 120 milliseconds. We want a hit, not a note hanging in the air. Here's a really useful advanced move. Use modulation to make the horn feel alive. Assign envelope 2 to the filter cutoff and give it a quick burst. 0 attack, a short decay, no sustain. That gives you that classic punch then bark shape. It's the difference between a static synth tone and something that feels like a pressure release. If you want extra old school energy, add a small pitch envelope too. A quick downward movement of maybe 2 to 5 semitones, very short decay, can create that rugged air horn urgency. Keep it subtle. If you go too far, it starts sounding cartoonish instead of powerful. Once the basic tone is there, let's give it some grit. Add saturator next. Drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB is usually enough to bring out harmonics and help the horn cut through drums and bass without needing to be absurdly loud. Turn soft clip on, and then trim the output so you're matching level sensibly. If you want more transient snap, try drum bus after that, but keep it controlled. A little drive, a little transient emphasis, and only a tiny bit of crunch if any. We are not trying to turn this into a smashed drum. We just want it to bite. And if you're tempted to use boom, be very careful. Usually for a horn hit, boom is off. The horn should live in the mid-range announcement zone, not the sub. Now let's make room for the rest of the track. Add EQ 8 after the distortion stage. High pass the horn to remove low junk, usually somewhere around 140 to 250 Hz. If it's sounding nasal, dip a little around 900 Hz to 1.5 kHz. If it's too harsh, look in the 2.5 to 5 kHz range and soften it. And if it needs to speak more clearly on smaller systems, a gentle presence boost around 2 to 3.5 kHz can help. The big rule here is this: don't just make it louder if it's not cutting through. First, narrow the EQ focus, then add a touch more saturation, then reduce reverb, then tighten the envelope. That usually gets you much closer to a believable horn in a dense DNB mix. After EQ, use compression only if the horn is too inconsistent. A light compressor or glue compressor can help, but don't flatten the life out of it. Keep a few dB of gain reduction at most. Attack a bit slower if you want to preserve the front edge. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds is a good starting point. If the horn is meant to duck away after the hit, sidechain it lightly from the drums or bass bus. That way it punches on the front edge and then politely steps out of the way before the next hit arrives. That's a very clean way to make the horn feel big without making the mix messy. Now let's talk stereo. Horns can get cheesy if they're too wide and shiny. For darker jungle and old school D&B, you usually want the core to stay centered and stable. Use utility to control width, maybe anywhere from 70 to 100% depending on the role. Always test in mono. If the horn disappears or loses its bite, it's too wide or too facey. For some subtle movement, a light chorus ensemble can work, or even a tiny slap-style delay, but keep it restrained. The goal is character, not a fancy effect. If you're doing this like a proper club tool, the transient should stay focused and central, while only the upper harmonics get a bit of spread. At this point, you should have a horn that already feels usable. But here's the advanced workflow move. Resemble it. Record the horn to audio so you can commit to the vibe. Trim the best transient, and start editing it like a record element instead of a synth patch. Resampling is huge in drum and bass, because it turns sound design into arrangement material. Once it's audio, you can reverse it for a transition, add a tiny fade-in for a smear effect, duplicate it with slight timing offsets for a chop jungle feel, or bounce several versions for different moments in the tune. A great approach is to create three or four variations in one session. Make a clean punch version. Make a dirtier version with more saturation. Make a filtered, tighter version for tension, and make a short reverse pickup version for transitions. That gives you a proper DJ tool palette. Now we move into arrangement thinking. In D&B, the horn should evolve with the structure. Keep the intro version more filtered and sparse. Use it maybe once every 8 bars. Then in the build, make it shorter, brighter, and more urgent. In the drop, maybe use it only once on a phrase boundary so it still feels special. In a breakdown, you can allow a more reverbed version to call back the energy. Automation is where this becomes musical instead of static. Automate filter cutoff, saturation drive, reverb send, delay send, and even width if needed. For example, you might keep the first hit dry and tight, then open the filter a little on the next phrase, and only send the final hit of a section into reverb. That creates a sense of progression, without crowding the mix. And in jungle, timing matters just as much as tone. A horn placed dead on the grid can feel rigid. Sometimes nudging it slightly early or slightly late makes it feel more human and more like sound system energy. Just a tiny offset can turn it from a programmed sound into something that breathes with the break. Now place it against the drums and bass with intention. Great spots are after a snare fill at the end of bar 8, right before a bass line answer phrase, on top of a break edit, or as a response to a re-stab. One especially classic move is to have the horn hit, then let the drums drop out for a beat, then bring the full break back in. That little void gives the horn way more power than just turning it up ever could. Another strong technique is to place the horn just ahead of the bar line. Not rushed, not sloppy, just enough anticipation to make the listener lean forward. That feels very much like a DJ cue, and it fits perfectly with the old-school rave vocabulary. If you want even more depth, try a two-stage horn. Make one layer for the initial blast and another quieter, dirtier layer for the afterbark. That gives the hit more body without bloating the attack. Or make a pair of horns, one dry and aggressive, the other wider and more chaotic. Alternate them across 4 or 8 bars so the listener hears a conversation, rather than a repeat. You can also try a subtle pitch-shifted variation. A slightly lower version feels darker and meaner. A slightly higher version feels more anxious and ravey. Keep it subtle so it reads like variation, not a whole new sample. If the horn needs more edge, a tiny parallel crack layer can help. Think short noise burst, band pass filtered, saturated and tucked very low in the mix. It's just there to add bite in the upper mids. That can be especially useful if the main horn is a little too polite. A short filtered reverb can also add rave space without washing everything out. Think short decay, small pre-delay, and a fairly low high cut. You want the sense of space, not a giant wash. In darker D&B, the attitude usually comes from the mid-range punch plus a restrained tail. Let's finish with a practical mindset. Always check the horn with drums and bass playing together. Solo sound design can trick you into overprocessing. If it doesn't work in context, the answer is usually not more volume. It's a cleaner EQ shape, less reverb, slightly more saturation, or a tighter envelope. Your homework for this kind of sound is simple and very effective. Build 3 or 4 horn variations in the same Ableton project. Make one clean and centered. Make one rude and more saturated. Make one ghostly and filtered with a small ambience tail. Make one damage control version that's narrow, dark, and built for busy moments. Then place them in an 8-bar jungle loop and see which one actually feels like a real DJ tool. If you do this right, you'll end up with an air horn that doesn't feel like a novelty effect at all. It'll feel like a classic rave signal evolved for modern Ableton-based DNB production, rude, functional, and locked into the roller.